This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. Angie.
Patois.
If you could go back to any era at your age, so not back to another age in your life, but you could go back to any era at the age you are at now, what era would you go back to?
What?
So I'm not asking you to go back to like your teenage self or like what age would you, but if you could go back to any era at all, but be Ange, age 46.
Oh, wow. Now,
what era would you go back to?
I think I would go back to my sort of, so it would be the 90s, I suppose. Those kind
would
of
you, as yourself,
as myself now, I'd go back to sort of early 90s, Ange, or early 90s
and
era.
Sack off Ian.
I'd shag. Senseless.
Oh my God, you would be those breasts that you had in the 90s. You would
exactly.
be on your back constantly, mate.
Although, if what you're saying is I don't get that body back. I'm still this body.
Yeah, you're still that body.
That might also be a bit of an issue, but you know,
be a problem. Yeah,
yeah. But you know, I just go for it. Really, I just
yeah.
You know, I just you know absolutely. You know, I'd go back to those days, months, years where you just kind of had freedom. I think that's
no responsibility.
I am yearning for freedom.
God, we have gone deep right away, haven't we?
We have
She's
gone balls
yearning
deep.
For freedom. I think I'd go back to like the 20s or something like that.
Would you?
Yeah,
you
because
like
I'd really...
The 2000s?
No, like the 1920s.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah, because I've experienced the 90s. Maybe I'd go back to like the 60s or the 50s or something, because I have experienced the 90s. Sure, I was only like, you know, 10 onwards in the 90s. Mm. It was like, you know, but I've experienced it. I would love to know what it was like. You know, the 60s, oh my, to be this age now in the 60s, we'd all just be smoking pot and shagging, man.
Mm. Well, which is what I'm sort of saying about the 90s.
Yeah, but I think the 60s was like...
a whole new world emerging.
Oh my God, new era. It was like, oh wow, this is like new times. There's new things happening. Yeah. Like, it felt like, I look back at the 60s and I think, God, that felt like an amazing time to be alive. Mm,
to be alive, yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, yeah. I think though, because I think a lot of the time, what I want to go back to is all linked to the music. And I'm not sure I liked the 60s music.
Right.
I found it a bit irritating. Okay. And I think that's what would get on my tits a lot. Whereas your 90s, you think of the shit that was coming out in the 90s.
Oh my God, Destiny's Child.
Oh, all of that shit. I mean,
oh my God.
That's what I think I'd want to go back to, is that. Being Angie now, 40-something, could not give a shit.
Yeah.
That's where I'd want to go.
Living her best life.
Yeah, yeah.
Keeping it, finding, you know, men in the club with their pockets full grown.
Men in the club. Yes.
Seeking out Harry Styles.
Yeah,
he
yes, exactly.
He wouldn't be there, mate. He wouldn't be
no,
there.
No, that's,
he would be,
that's
be
a
child.
Shame, actually.
Yeah, you wouldn't have Harry.
Yes. Maybe he wasn't actually
child.
Even born. That is a very good question, Pat.
Oh, thanks. I would like to experience. Also, I'd like our listeners to tell us what era would they go back to and why.
Yes.
Like,
nice
where
one
would
there,
if you
Pats.
Could as yourself as an adult if you could go back to any era, because I would love to I'd love to experience an era that I'd never known. I think
never been
I would
in before.
I would also quite like to do the 80s, because I was obviously born in 82, so I was a very but I would like
you
to do
Bambino.
As an adult the 80s. Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to do
the
80s.
80s was actually that would be quite cool actually, because even then I was only I was only 10, I suppose, would be my sort of. So yeah, that would be quite cool to be an adult in the 80s. Would also be quite cool.
You know, rocking around with your
of.
Like, basically
leg
living
warmers,
like, yeah,
shell suit,
Yeah, living like you're in Footloose all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
You know, you're Olivia Newton, John Leggins that you have to be sewn into. I mean, not people with my shape and start size.
Well, you could bring that about, Pats.
And I think you probably, like you say, you give less of a shit. So I probably would get into 100%. Those skin tight leggings.
I think that is the thing that I think you get with age is the giving less of a shit.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I love that about the age I am now.
Yeah.
Do you know what? If you like me, great. We can be pals. If you don't, also great. I don't really care. Yeah.
Couldn't give a shit.
I love that about the age of me now.
Yeah.
And I think to go back and be this Ange in the 90s era.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's safe to say, Pats, I'd be on fire.
You would be on fire.
I would be on fire.
How was your platy jubes?
Platy jubes. I mean, to be honest, Pats, I am feeling absolutely bloody jiggered in the words of Mel. I am so tired.
You had a full-on weekend, mate. You had a full-on 4 days.
We've had massive platy jubes going on.
If you ever give me shit for being like, you're always out, you're always doing things, I'm going to be like, two words.
Platy jubes.
Platy jubes. Platy jubes. Because you did not fucking stop, pal.
It doesn't always happen, though. Like, I'll have weeks and weeks. Yeah. Mm. Well, I'll have absolutely jack shite going on. And then all of a sudden it's like, right, we've got this on this day, that on that day, we've got that on that day, we're going there and then we're going there and then we're seeing them and then we're doing them. In fact, my whole June currently feels like that.
My June's a bit like that, actually. It's a bit mental.
What is going on? Why does this happen?
Because you're coming into your summer warmer months and people are like,
you're coming into your summer seasons.
Let's do things. Let's get together. Mm. Let's get together and feel alright. That's what people are thinking, isn't it? It's like we can get out in the garden. Yeah. I don't have to actually have people in my house.
I don't actually have to hoover.
No. You although
know, just come straight through the garden.
Our neighbours have got fake grass and they have to hoover that.
I actually quite like the idea of doing that, though. I mean, I'm sure it gets boring.
So, but I thought everything that was on television, the celebrations, everything, it was just wonderful to see, wasn't it?
That whole, did you see the concert thing on the Saturday night? I thought that was amazing.
Party at the Palace. Party at Tut Palace.
Party at Tut Palace.
I obviously met Kate and Will, didn't I?
You did, yes, Kate and Will.
Had a lovely conversation with them. And what I was, this is a really weird thing to say, but what I was most stunned about is actually how posh they are.
Oh, yeah.
Even when they're just conversing with one another. Like, she was like, Wills, look at this. Oh, isn't this fabulous?
Did
Wills.
She call you Patty? Patty?
Yes, she did.
Hello, Patty. How are you doing?
Even before you called
me Patty.
Even before you called me Patty.
I told Kate, when you see Ruth, please refer to her as Patty. Hello there, Patty.
Yes, I couldn't believe how, like, you know, that is actually how they talk all the time.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine they were lovely if we talked like that? I mean, some people say that I sound posh, especially in our early apps.
Yeah, they need to get a grip, mate. They've never heard posh in their life, pal.
Well, exactly. And I don't actually want to be posh, but I do sort of sometimes think, what if we did speak very sort of, you know,
Wills.
Hello there.
She called him Wills the whole time. Wills.
Wills. I like that actually. Yeah.
Did you know, just quickly before we move on to shitting tits, did you know that Prince George's nickname is Tips? You know, little
tips.
Prince George.
T-I-P-S.
Yeah. You know, tips. Little Prince George, the oldest of the three of the Cambridge's children. Tips.
Why is he Tips?
Because his initials are PG, he's Prince George, and he was called PG Tips for a long time. They used to call him PG, PG Tips. And then they dropped the PG, and in the family, he's known as Tips.
I bloody love that.
Isn't that cool?
That is so good.
Yeah,
I think I think I'd actually fit in really well with Wills and Kate.
Oh, if everyone's got a nickname.
If they're coming out with that kind of nickname shit, I am well in there.
PG Tips.
Well in
tips.
There. That is brilliant. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, Prince George, PG.
PG Tips. tea.
Summer is right around the corner.
Well, that's what everyone keeps jeffing saying, don't they?
Well, yeah, but we're on holiday. We've got a month until we go on holiday, perhaps.
That is true, actually. And I actually do need to get myself some summer wardrobe clothes.
Me too. So the best place to go is obviously our mates at Stitch Fix.
100% Patty. We all know that frustrating feeling when you buy a lovely new item of clothing, but then realise you have nothing in your wardrobe to wear it with. Stitch Fix are saying, do you know what? Shop smarter and build a hard-working wardrobe with a little bit of help from a Stitch Fix personal stylist.
Stitch Fix is an online personal styling service for men and women. To get started, go to stitchfix.co.uk/funny. You take a fun style quiz and then your personal stylist will hand select 5 items just for you in your colours, styles and preferred budget.
So you pay a styling fee of just £10 each time you order, which is then deducted from the cost of anything you keep. If you keep all 5 items, you get 20% off. Now, Pats, I've tried this a couple
I know you have.
I have been the impressed every time. I've got some really nice pieces for my wardrobe, but I do need to start getting on the summer vibes because you I'm still very much living in jeans. Yes, I am. So yeah, I would highly recommend it. So get started today at stitchfix.co.uk/funny and get 20% off when you keep all 5 items.
That's stitchfix.co.uk/funny for 20% off when you keep all items in your fix. So, Ange.
Yes.
What has been getting on your shitting tits?
The thing that's getting on my shitting tits is it's kind of a two-pronged
attack. It's a two-pronged attack.
It's a two-pronged attack.
You've got a two-pronged attack today.
But they coincide. Two becomes one.
Right.
So the thing that
haven't
is getting
you got
on my
very sausage. Haven't you got very sausage fingers?
Sausages.
Anyway,
they're just very
on.
Short. They're very
carry
short.
On.
I'm very short-fingered and short-limbed.
Okay.
Right, so the thing that's getting on my shitting tits is AirPods and general technology.
Right, I knew that this was coming.
Honestly.
I knew that this was coming.
AirPods, I've not had them very long. I think, when did I get them? I can't remember. Sometime last year. So that
you got them for your birthday, didn't you? You got them for your birthday.
Yeah, something like that. So say like towards the end of last year I got them.
Sure.
Yeah?
Sure.
Before that, I was quite happy with things that go in your ears that are attached to a wire.
Right.
I knew where I was with that shit, right?
Sure.
Put them in my ear, plug it in somewhere. You get a plug in, yeah? Now, all this automatic Bluetooth connectivity, which actually 9 times out of 10 never fucking works.
Yeah.
Pisses me right. All I want to do, right, put my AirPods in, connect to my laptop, put my AirPods in, connect to my phone, put my AirPods in, connect to whatever it is I want to connect to, and it never jeffing works.
Well, this
That's
is
my first
cause
issue.
Because it does for me.
But what's okay then? So that pisses me off even more then. Is it just me? Is it just me that they don't like?
Yeah.
They're like, oh,
yeah,
we're going to dick around with Ange.
Yeah, I actually think when AirPods are made, there's a little button that goes inside them. And if they're
well, that's what
by
it feels
you,
like.
It's like, dick around with Ange, dick around.
Yeah. That's
dick
what
around with
it
Ange.
Feels like.
Yeah.
I also find now as well, so that pisses me off. The whole, you know, just, oh, it's not connecting. You put them in and it's not connecting. And you get the little bing and you're like, great, they've connected. You press play. No, they're still not connected. What the fuck is going on, right? That's one thing. The second thing that I hate about AirPods in particular, right, is I'm so frightened I'm going to lose one.
Right.
If I go out on a walk, right, I'm forever like, shit, have I got my AirPods? They don't even fit in my ears that well.
Right.
I think I've got quite small ears.
This is a big thing for you, mate. This is
it
weird.
Is.
This is have you been carrying this for all this since you got them, since the back of... Oh, my God, Andrew, I'm so sorry.
Have I just you, wish I been... had a wire.
Why didn't you talk about this in therapy?
Well, I should have done.
Yeah, because yeah. I think this could be the root of all your issues.
Bloody feels like this, it, mate.
This
you.
Has been hard for you, Angie. Yes. You've been carrying this since November of last year. This is tough.
I just get so annoyed. I find myself, like, if I go out for a walk with Luna, I'll put them in, yeah? And then, obviously, because you're walking dogs, you come across other dogs walking and shit. So I keep taking...
And then you,
like,
walk into a lamppost.
Into a lamppost. Exactly that. When I walked into that lamppost, my AirPod fell out of my ear.
Yeah.
Now, it was only because that lady was there when it happened, which was obviously highly embarrassing, but also good because she noticed the AirPods.
Otherwise, I'd
have lost the AirPod.
Do you know what annoys me about AirPods? Sometimes when you put them back in the charging case, one of them doesn't charge properly. That
exactly.
gets on my tits.
Yeah.
You open it up and it on your phone, it flashes up and one's got like 100% and the other one's got 3%. You're like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
How does that
how
work?
How is one giving me more sound than the other? Surely
and how
it's
is
an
one
equal
charge,
distribution.
How is one charged beautifully in that charging dock and it's... Mm-hmm. That is perfect.
Yeah.
And the other one's dicking around and they're not charging.
Yeah. And that's what I mean, Pats. At least with a wire, you know where you stand.
Yeah.
You know where you stand with a wire.
I can see you in a technology shop. Chris, this sounds great. Has this TV got a wire? No, it's a new. It just automatically connects to your electricity. I don't want it.
Forget it.
I don't know where I stand.
And that's my thing with a lot of technology.
You don't know where you stand, mate.
We keep dicking around with it. We're like, let's make it really easy. Just plug it in and off you go. Well, it never fucking works like that, does it? Ever?
No.
And that's why I miss my wires. I miss my wires. I just feel like technology is just moving too fast and too crazy. And I just think we need to strip it all back. I just want to strip it back.
Do you know
back.
What, though? When you watch out, Angelina and have got a Tesla. When Ange gets in, it's Ian's. When Ange gets in Ian's Tesla, the chair moves automatically to set it up for Ian.
All of that.
And every time she gets in, she goes, "See, I'm not even doing anything." And then she moves it for herself and stops and doesn't start the car. And so then it starts to move again because it thinks, "Oh, nobody started it. Maybe it's Ian." She's like, "Oh my God." And when we last went to Costco, Mum was in the back and Ange just kept going, "Sorry, Margs. I don't know what this chair's doing. It's just, why does it have to do this?"
Exactly. And that is actually a very good example, Pat, of technology. That car, right, when you drive it, it just all of a sudden starts beeping at me. That freaks me out. I'm more likely to crash the damn thing because it's beeping at me and I don't know what it's beeping at me for.
Yeah.
Like, fucking hell, what? Am I hit something? What's going on here?
Oh no! There was a gnat that just brushed across your windscreen.
just went past one of the 50 million fucking cameras on the car. Freaks me out. I don't know what the fuck's going on. I then crash. Ian kills me because I've crashed his car. That's it. Yeah. End of Ange. Gone.
That's it.
She's dead.
End of finding the funny. Done.
Yeah. We'll just be finding the funny with Patty.
Yeah. And that would be shit.
Well, it might actually be better.
No, definitely not. Very good tits, Angie. Very good tits.
We go. I feel better, actually, for getting some of that off my tits, to be honest.
Yeah,
so
fine.
Many
That's what
thanks.
We're here for.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks.
Okay, so we had a dickish behaviour in from Laura on the gram. And it said, people who take 2 hours to leave your house after saying, right, I best be off now. That is so true. Do you know, I was thinking about this yesterday, and there's a step further to that, isn't there? Those people that are like, right, better be off, and then it takes them ages. And then they get to the front door, and then they turn around
exactly
in your hallway and carry on talking to you. And you're like, you best be off 4 hours ago. And it's like, why are we now having a conversation at the front door?
Also, it's like annoying because you're like, oh God, now I've actually just got to stand up.
Yeah.
I've got to stand. At least in there, I could sit down and listen to you banging on. But now we're at the front door, I'm stood up for another 2 hours.
And I could have the TV on and sort of be half kind of listening. Half...
Yeah. Just doing, not really taking it in.
No. But at the front door, you're sort of like, oh God, I've got to look at you.
Oh, yeah, you're locked in.
Engaged in this.
Yeah.
Talking about front doors, do you know the story that I remembered the other week or the other day? Not the other week, the other day. It was this past week. What am I talking about? The other day. Is when Ian went to your boss's house at the time to do some electrical work. And they got to the front door. They didn't really know each other. They'd only met each other like maybe once or twice. And at the front door, Ted, your boss, just went, I'm so sorry, Ian, I've just farted and it really smells. That story will never not be funny.
And he obviously had to say, because there was no sound. So it wasn't like he could, it was clear that he just farted, but it absolutely stank.
I'll never forget Ian coming back and telling us that story. I think I was at your house or he came to our house or something and he was like, Ted's just said to me, I'm really sorry, I'm just farting, it really smells. And we were both like, oh my God, what did you do? Ian just said, well, I just said, oh right, okay. What can you do?
Do you know what? That happens to Ian a lot.
Does it?
I think he creates wind around people. It's happened to him so many times. It happened with one of our old neighbours. He was just like, I don't know, he'd gone round to do something and then he just farted. And then he had to say, oh, excuse me, and I've just farted.
Having to say that sentence out loud is probably one of the most embarrassing sentences, isn't it? Because you're like, do you know what's worse? Just to go slightly off piece, is if perhaps like, I've had it, if you're like working maybe in a room on your own or something and you're getting your head down and you don't think anyone's around, you think, oh, okay, this is a safe zone. And the moment it happens, someone walks in and you're God, it's only me in here. There's a horrible smell. It's a horrible smell. Oh, wasn't it? Janice, it wasn't. Oh, Janice, hiya. I wasn't expecting you. I literally wasn't expecting you because what has just come out of my arse is like death.
Oh, that is so true.
Yeah. And you think, oh, God, no, I can't. It's out now. It's done.
Yeah. And and there's no getting away from the fact that it was me. I can't blame this on anybody else.
No.
This is my arse and it's my smell. Apologies, Janice.
And it's death. But yeah, people who say, it's like, and also like, as they pack up their things, like they get their bag and you think, oh, they are actually going. And
they're going.
Oh,
yeah.
Did I tell you last week what happened? And you're thinking,
no.
I really want to say yes. Because, and then you're going to say, oh, yeah. What happened? I'm going to have to be like, shit, I can't remember. But I desperately, with everything in me, want to lie to your face, Sandra, and say, yeah, I remember, you've already told me.
Yeah,
don't
you told
tell the
me
story
this.
Again.
Yeah. Don't you find
actually
well,
have with, to go, no.
When that happens, you find yourself, I find myself limiting my conversation because I just think I don't want to get into something else. If I say that, it's going to send you off on another tangent about something else and I'm going to be here for another hour. So I end up just literally doing a lot of like that is your cue. If I'm mmming, that means
you're out.
You lost me 2 hours ago, Janice.
Yeah.
And you now need to leave. In fact, you should have left 2 hours ago and you're still here. So when I start reducing my communication and conversation, that is your cue to leave.
I'm out.
Yeah. You've lost me. I've gone.
Maybe they should start doing that on Dragon's Den. Rather than saying I'm out, if somebody's talking and it's a shit pitch, if all of the dragons just start going, that's your cue.
That is it.
PJ is going, that's it. Mm-hmm. You're out. Mm-hmm. You're done. Mm-hmm. You're finished.
Yeah. Just walk out, get yourself in the lift and go.
Yeah, go.
Run. In fact, run.
Run.
That is a great, great dickish from Laura.
Oh, great dickish.
Very,
Laura.
Very good.
Well done.
Thank you. Urban Dictionary. Give us your urban.
This isn't dissimilar to the dickish, actually. It just says, on my way.
Well, you just text that to someone when you're about to meet them. Or you write, you're
when a friend, when a friend refers to a period in time where they are thinking about leaving, but could actually arrive in anywhere from 1 to 6 hours, usually later rather than sooner. Gareth, don't worry, man, I'm on my way. 3 hours later, Gareth arrives.
I have sent that text many a time.
Oh my God, how many people have dropped the, haven't even left yet, but I'm going to drop that on my way.
Yeah. I'm blatantly lying to your face. I'm on my way. Actually, I'm not. I'm not even dressed.
And that on my way, like Urban Dictionary says, refers to a period of time where you could be there in an hour, you could be there in six.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just a sort of heads up.
Yeah. Just to let you know.
About going.
Yeah. I'm currently, I've just got out of the shower. I've just put on my pants. But I am on my way.
Yeah. Mm. How many times? There are so many times I've messaged on my way when I haven't even stepped out.
Blatantly lying. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, I know when you're lying. When you either text or call and go, right, I am on my way, Ange, but there's been a bit of traffic. There's been a bit of a problem. I've come across some traffic lights. I didn't know that they were going to be there. I was stuck there. I'm like, you've just left.
Yeah.
I know.
And to be honest, though, Ange, okay, you don't have a leg to stand on. Because if somebody tells you to get somewhere at 7:30, I mean, you'll be there at 8:15 if you're lucky.
I actually think my timekeeping has improved. And I think you've gotten worse. Yeah. I think you've gotten more laps.
No! Bollocks, have I?
Yeah.
No, that is a load of old shit.
The last few things we've had to do from a kind of podcast perspective, you've been late.
And I wasn't late this morning. I was on before you, actually.
No, I mean that's because I was having shitty connectivity issues with my fucking AirPods.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
No, I mean, like, if we have to go and do something in person, like we're going to meet with someone or we're going to... I've clocked that I'm actually there before you majority of the
right,
time.
Right, okay, this is now a test. This is now a task. What? I'm making this a challenge.
This is now a test.
This is now a dot, 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 whatever you want in there. This is now a task. This is now a thing. This is now a thing. Mm. We've got a couple of meetings coming up in person.
Yeah.
Got one in a couple of weeks. Mm. This is a race.
Okay.
This is like challenge fucking Annika.
Yeah.
I am gonna be there. Oh, you just watch me.
Okay, that's fine.
Me whip and then you watch me nay. Yeah.
Okay, that is fine. Because you know, you're the one that's bringing all this shit now. So actually if you don't perform and you are not there either on time or early, then you've lost. So, you've got to step up now, perhaps.
Bring it.
Okay?
Bring it.
Fine. I've brought it.
But yeah, I thought on my way was really... Because I don't think there's anyone out there that hasn't done that.
Has never used that.
Everyone has at some point said, I'll just message, say I'm on my way.
Yeah.
And then I'll get there in 6 hours.
But I'm blatantly lying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that was my Urban Dictionary.
Good Urban Pats. Yeah, good, good. Now then, we've had a really, really good dilemma in. And obviously, we always, whenever we get your dilemmas, and actually, we've had quite a few just come in the last week or so.
Great, isn't it? It's brilliant.
It really is. It's because we now know we've got like a good sort of good few weeks set up. So thank you so much for sharing and sending these in.
Yeah,
and we will always keep any of these anonymous. So the dilemma we had in says, hi, Patty and Angie. I'm seriously getting quite on board with Angie. I've been thinking of asking for advice on this for a while, but have been unsure of how to word it. Here goes. My sister is getting married next August 2023, and all she is talking about is the wedding, which my parents are paying £15,000 towards. Her and her partner are contributing about £5,000. She is making unrealistic demands and expectations, and it's got to the point where my mum has been in tears about it, saying she just wants the wedding over, and my dad won't discuss the wedding unless he has to, as he gets so upset and angry. I asked my mum if she felt this way when I was married 7 years ago and when my brother was married earlier this year. Mum said, no, it was enjoyable helping you plan it because it was clear you just wanted to be married and you both were reasonable. So my dilemma is, Do I challenge my sister, which will upset her and then in turn make my parents feel worse? Or do I just put up and shut up for the next year and be there to support my parents?
God, this is a tough one.
This really is. God. This is one of those dilemmas where you just feel like potentially whatever you do is going to cause some upset somewhere. And it's knowing what is the right thing or the best thing to do.
I would start by, if this was me and you and it was mum and dad, I would start by going to you.
Yes, I was thinking exactly the same thing.
My first port of call would be, I would sit you down and I would say, look, we're all so excited about this wedding. We're all so pleased that it's like going to happen and it's coming round and, you know, we're so happy about it. But I'm a bit worried about the, and I wouldn't even say that it's come from mum and dad. I would own it and say, I'm a bit worried about the expectations on mum and dad, Ange. Like, I think you can't ever really talk about anything else when we're together. I don't know how much they're spending or how much you're spending, but it seems like a lot of the time there's a very specific way you want things done. I understand that. Hopefully you only get married once and it's a really special day and you've obviously got every right to have what you want. But I just feel a little bit like your expectations of them are too high. And I would take it off of them. And I would say that because I think within siblings, if you and I had a semi falling out about it, I would do anything to protect mum and dad, I guess, from having to feel upset within that.
Yeah, yeah. I also think there is, you know, there is always a way of going about things like this in a, you know, you don't have to be, it doesn't have to be rude, doesn't have to come from a place of you being, even if you are a little bit pissed off at kind of what's happening and that you feel like you're, you know, sibling is creating a lot of this. I think you can have that conversation, hopefully in a way that your sister would be able to hear and take on board. And I when I was thinking about it, I thought exactly the same thing. Perhaps I'd be thinking, right, I need to speak to my sister about this. I have got to try in some way to just kind of help iron out the stuff that's going on. And I think sometimes when it's you that's getting married, you're so caught up in everything that you want and everything's got to be perfect and you want this, that and the other, you almost lose sight of A, what you're doing, as in getting married to somebody, promising some massive things to a person. And also I think you just lose sight of how much money everything costs. It just kind of unravels. And I think sometimes you do need someone who just kind of reins that in a little bit and just pulls you back a bit and says, look, I think this is kind of getting a little bit out of hand. You know, there's a lot of money being spent here. It is causing a little bit of upset and hurt sometimes for people that are trying to help you have the wedding that you want to have. And I think we just need to kind of stop and step back a bit and take a bit of time to look at everything. And I think sometimes maybe her sister does feel a bit overwhelmed. Maybe she does. And actually it would be helpful for you to have that conversation with her to just kind of pull that stuff back a bit and take a bit of time.
I also think I would, if it was me, I would say to mum and dad, I'm going to have a little bit of a chat with her about it, but I'm not going to say this has come from you. I just want you to know that I see it. I want to support you. I think I'm probably best placed to sit down with Ange and to just, you know, thrash it out a little bit, find out why there are so much expectations, but I'm not going to say this has come from you. I'm going to say I have noticed and observed. And I think, you know, if you take some of that heat off of your mum and dad and she can sort of recognise perhaps the way that it is impacting others around her, but you're doing that from the point of view of owning it for yourself and saying, I'm a bit worried about the expectations on mum and dad. I'm a bit worried about how much they're being expected to do and provide. And, you know, I want to make sure that we're going about this the right way. Yeah. I think that is going to create less of a family wave. In all honesty, I think it's a much easier. So that's what I would do. I would come to you and I would just be really honest.
I also think potentially if you don't have that conversation now, you actually could end up in a far worse situation when the wedding comes around. Yeah, like, I agree. The fact that you know, you have still a good chunk of time. This isn't happening until August 23. I think if you don't maybe step in now and have that conversation, and like Pat says, do it from a perspective of, this is me talking to you. This isn't coming from anyone else. This is this is what I'm seeing. It's how I feel.
Yeah.
It's not going to involve your parents, which protects them. But yeah. I think it also, if you don't, I think you're going to end up in a far worse situation next year. And I think there is definitely a way you can go about that that's in a very kind, coming from a loving place. It's like you're saying, do you know what? We want this to be the best day for you.
Of course.
But
of course,
we probably just need to kind of look at how things are how things are being done, who's being responsible for what, the money that's being spent. And yeah, I think better to have that conversation now, given that you've still got a good amount of time before the wedding, and hope that things are able to be a lot better for her and for all of you as a family, and have a great celebration next year.
What a great dilemma. We've got a few now in the back catalogue, so if you've sent us one, keep listening, because we will eventually get round to it. We want to try and do all of them if we can. But another episode done. Gosh.
I know.
That's it. All done.
We didn't do many call to actions.
No,
Pat,
we didn't.
Did we?
So let's put one right in now. If there's anything you want to get in touch with us about, if you've got any dickish behaviours, if anything we've talked about has resonated with you, or you've thought, oh yeah, I've done that, or I do that, or off the back of us speaking about something.
If you also hate AirPods / technology,
if you've ever farted, if you ever farted in a confined space. Anyway, there's loads of ways you can get in touch with us. You can find us both on Instagram. I'm at Ruth Corden, Andrew's at Ange Corden.
And you can find the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast.
But that's it. Another episode done. We hope you have a fantastic week. And Ange and I will be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.